Welcome to the School of Faith. This is our second part in the series on the foundation for life. Last week we talked about a foundation for life that you can build upon. This week we're going to be talking about living out the word, a true sign of discipleship. A study conducted by the Roper Organization for High Adventure Ministries in 1990 found that the moral behavior of born-again Christians actually worsened after their conversions. Examined were incidences of illegal drug use, driving while intoxicated, and marital infidelity. The problem can be solved, says one researcher, with a new commitment to accountability and discipleship. It's one thing to come to Christ and make him Savior, as I spoke about in our last lesson. It's another to see him become Lord of our life. And to make that commitment and allow ourselves to become accountable, to be looked at and unveiled, so to speak, for God to truly handle and touch every part of our life is a very uncomfortable thing. It's like our house. We like to clean it up before people come to visit us. We throw everything in the closet sometimes in order to just, get rid of it. The guests are almost here. Instead of really taking care of cleaning it up. And there are things in our closets spiritually that we don't want the Lord Jesus Christ to even look at. But he wants us to be open, vulnerable, accessible, accountable to the work of the Holy Spirit. And if we'll allow the Lord to have that place in our lives where he can be Lord of all, not just what we permit him to, we can see the problems with drinking, drugs, infidelity, and other things taken care of through the power and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 7:24-27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We know of people in each and every one of our lives who have fell, whether it's spiritually, emotionally, mentally, in business, whatever it might be. In my own personal life, I've had struggles, and there are times when I've not allowed myself to let God be Lord of my life and to look into every corner of my heart, and I've had a bolted locked door. And that was wrong, and that saw my failures and difficulties. And I look back now and I see it so clearly, but at the time, I wanted to protect myself. The Lord Jesus Christ loves us. He cares for us. And if we have various partners and friends who are around about us who do the same, they will be honest, truthful, and as well as open to you in a very precious way, if their hearts are pure. And we know that our Father's love for us is pure, so we shouldn't be afraid of him. We are called to discipleship. And if we will allow ourselves to become the disciples Christ wants us to be, we can see great things in our lives. Apostles and disciples, in the early days of Christ's ministry, they had their faults. But they knew the intent and the love of Christ, and the Lord never gave up on them. And the Lord has not given up on you and me either, and wants us to have good success. The Bible says that he's promised us life, and that more abundantly. We need to tap into that. We need to know that God's intent is for us to succeed. Discipleship is a lifestyle that is developed out of love and obedience to Christ and his teachings. In direct commitment to Christ and the mentors that God uses to develop our spiritual character and well-being. I remember when I first moved to Clinton, Connecticut, my neighbor became a very good friend of mine, and the Holy Spirit had spoken to my heart to allow him to be very personal in my life and that I need to be accountable to him. Now, he wasn't in my church. He wasn't part of the ministerial alliance I was a part of or anything else. But Jay was a person that I could trust, the Holy Spirit said, and he could speak into my life. And if I was accountable to him, and then he also became accountable to me in many ways, we saw God just do such a great outgrowth of his personal work and love. We got together every week to pray and work on one another with the cutting edge of the Holy Spirit. That type of discipleship blessed me so much, and God ministered to my life, and it allowed me to be open. And at times I didn't like what Jay had to say, but I tried to avail myself to it. And in your personal heart and life, you need to find those who can be your prayer partner, those who you can commit to in a personal way, that they can be your friends and neighbors. And more than that, they can be your mentors, and they can be those who can actually look in with a fine-tooth comb and touch your life, and vice versa, and that you can see just great grace and outgrowth in your life. Baker's Evangelical Dictionary, defining discipleship, says, Jesus and his disciples, the Old Testament theme of God with his people finds explicit fulfillment in Jesus with his people. The promise of a coming Davidic Messiah is intertwined with the promise that God himself would be with his people. The significance of Matthew's interpretation of the meaning of Jesus' name, Emmanuel, therefore cannot be overstated. The virgin will be with child, will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. In Jesus, God has come to be with his people, to fulfill the deepest meaning of the covenant God has with his people. He wants to be Master, Lord, and Savior. Although discipleship was a voluntary initiative in the personal lives of those who began this master-disciple relationship, Peter, Bartholomew, and others in their New Testament, it was one which was initiated through a calling, and that calling was the Lord wooing them unto him. And I want you to know the Lord is wooing you and me today. And if you have believed in him and have responded to that call, he wants to be involved in your life. He doesn't just want to be out there and apply his blood to your heart and life and forgive your sin. He wants to make something new out of you. He wants you to become a new man, a new woman, and see victory and grace in your life. Accountability is essential in the art of discipleship. Without our spiritual training being developed to its full potential, we are like seeing through a glass darkly. We need strong Christian believers and ministers equipping and strengthening, loving us, and teaching the Word of God. The fivefold ministry is so important. Whether it's a pastor, evangelist, a teacher, apostle, prophet, it doesn't matter what ministry it is there for the purpose to equip the saints of God intellectually, spiritually, and physically to accomplish all that Christ has called us to. We cannot be on an island by ourselves and expect God to mold us on his potter's wheel into a fully grown child of God. You cannot be pastored equipped through a television ministry or a radio ministry. You need a mentor, an example, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, who will help you in your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Discipleship is a process of becoming all that Christ has envisioned for you. It takes discipline and self-determination. You've got to be in it for the long haul. We need to run the race with patience and understand that discipleship takes time to develop. I remember in pastoring and now ministering in a local church here that people sometimes come up to you and they always question somebody else's development in Christ. Many times when they're baby Christians, new Christians, there's a lot of things that need to be pruned, touched, and helped. And too many times believers that have been living for God for years forget that. And they just say, so-and-so is not doing such and such, or why isn't this person accomplishing that? Just like you took time to develop, they take time. And each one is at their very own level. Some people, a couple weeks, a couple months, they've got it together, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Others, it sometimes takes years. It becomes difficult. But we need to understand that running the race with patience is what we need to do. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race, the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. God wants us to be winners. He wants us to run the race to win it, not to be the one who runs the swiftest, but the one who endures to the end. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that can cling so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Folks, there's a laying aside of things that we need to do in our personal life with Christ. There is baggage that we like to hang around when we become believers that is not something that is comfortable with our relationship in our personal Savior's embodiment in our personal lives. We're body, soul, and spirit, and the Spirit of Christ is within us. And there are some things that are uncomfortable to our relationship with the Lord that he wants to see pruned and taken away from our lives. So many times we like to hold on to it. Sometimes our kids grab things that they shouldn't have a hold of. We have to pry it loose from them because they don't recognize the harm it can cause. So it is with us as saints of God. We need to grow in the grace of the Lord and understand that he knows best. Our Heavenly Father loves us, and he knows what is best for us. God is going to test your love for him. He's going to want you to lay aside those things that are like dead weight spiritually, which could keep you from aspiring to the full stature of Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is going to challenge you to become the best that you can be, to prove your love and devotion to the cross by obedience to his word, which is most probably the greatest love test you can pass in walking by faith and not by sight, taking a hold of the hem of his garment and allowing his Holy Spirit to impart his anointing in everyday life. Amen. It's a great thing to be able to allow God to show forth that love test and see us be able to pass it and show that veracity and grace and passion for him. Oh, I want to touch the hem of the garment. I want his virtue to pass forth to me, and you need it as well in your personal life. 1 John 2:4-5. Whoever says, I have come to know him, but does not obey his commandments, is a liar. And in such a person, the truth does not exist. But whoever obeys his word, truly in this person, the love of God has reached perfection. By this we may be sure that we are in him. I have come to know him. Do you really think you've come to know him? If you think you've come to know him, you've done it through his word, and also through maybe understanding some of the traditions of the church, and also by looking into the word of God and being able to prove it or reason it out and understand it in a more complete fashion. It's not just, quote, seminary education you've got, or it's not just a Bible education you got, but the word has become practical to you. Whoever obeys his word is truly a person who loves God. I can have the knowledge. I can go to seminary and get more knowledge. I can have all the great intellect and be able to turn upside down the word of God and show you things. But if I don't obey his word, if I don't love Christ and show forth his grace and allow him to perfect me, it's all in vain. Obedience to the word is linked to perfection. That is accomplished by the revelation that is granted by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth, the scripture says. As we are mentored in living out our lives through our walk of faith, giving us insight and understanding in how we might walk in the power of God, we'll be able to be walking fully equipped in victorious Christian living and being examples of the love of Christ and showing forth the power of God. Running the race is important, but running it right is very important. We need direction. The Holy Spirit can help us. The fivefold ministry can help us. The example of believers can help us. Those things are all so important, and we need to take advantage of all of them. I remember my former pastor, Pastor John Gary Nordstrom, back in Illinois, was a great example and a blessing to me and touched my life. But the person who led me to Christ when I was young, John, his son, was just as important, because so many things he exemplified, so many things he allowed me to see from a bird's eye view that allowed me to take hold of some things, that allowed me to live out my faith in Christ to the best ability of his example, and then later on I built upon that. But each and every one of us need to work out our salvation with respect and understanding of what God has put before us, whether it's the witness of those who've led us to Christ, the fivefold ministry, or the old saints of God. We need to allow the personal work of the Holy Spirit to develop us and to take upon good character traits that show forth the love of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:12 talks about this running in a race. And there's a story I want to leave you with. It's called Running in Vain. A world-class woman runner was invited to compete in a road race in Connecticut. On the morning of the race, she drove from New York City, following the directions, or so she thought, given her over the phone. She got lost, stopped at a gas station, and asked for help. She knew that the race started in a parking lot of a shopping mall. The station attendant also knew of such a race schedule just up the road and directed her there. When she arrived, she was relieved to see in the parking lot a modest number of runners preparing to compete, not as many as she anticipated, an easier race than she'd been led to expect. She hurried to the registration desk, announced herself, and was surprised by the race official's excitement at having so renowned an athlete show up for the race. They had no record of her entry, but if she'd hurry and put on the number they gave her, she could just make it and get going. She ran, and naturally she won easily, some 4 minutes ahead of the first male runner in the second place. Only after the race, when there was no envelope containing her sizable prize and performance money, did she confirm that the event she'd run was not the race to which she had been invited. The race was being held several miles farther up the road in another town. She'd gone to the wrong starting line, run the wrong course, and missed her chance to win a valuable prize. I want you to know, we need to run the right race, and we need to walk and run in the right course that Christ has for us. Let's not miss the chance of receiving the valuable prize that we have of eternal life in Christ Jesus, and the joys and the victories and the pleasant things that God has for us, for those who love him. God bless you, and have a great day.